Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. It's here to talk about the one time I went to court and fought a parking ticket for myself. But first, I have to thank somebody. Make sure I get the name right. I'll put these on. But I have to thank Doug and Karen Pasco. I believe it was Doug who contacted me and said, Steve, I've noticed you wear a lot of local t-shirts on your podcast. How come you've never worn one for Michigan Tech? And I mentioned Michigan Tech recently because that, of course, is the school that was founded by the mines in the copper country of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And I said, well, you know, I've never worn one because I don't have one. And just, boom, magically I've got one. So thank you to Doug and Karen Pasco for making that happen. You got to love a school whose mascot is a Husky. Okay, so the Michigan Tech Huskies. But here's the deal. A while back, I cracked a joke about attorneys who represent themselves. And there is a saying that an attorney who represents himself has a fool for a client. And so generally speaking, you want to fight the urge to be your own attorney. But I'll admit, I've had a couple occasions where I did, and one of them was actually kind of comical. In that, I fought a parking ticket. You cannot think of a less important thing in this world to fight over than a parking ticket, right? Except that I got one, and as a matter of principle, I fought it. And here's what happened. There is a venue in Pontiac, Michigan called the Crowfoot, and they often have bands there that are up-and-coming bands. And I went to see a band there called the Airborne Toxic Event. Not sure what happened to them, but they had a really good CD that came out a while back, and I liked them. And I heard they were playing, and a friend of mine said, hey, Steve, I can get you into that show because I know the promoter. And I said, great. So I met my friend around the corner from the venue, and around the corner was a street that had street parking, angle-in parking, with parking meters. And the parking meters, and it's been a few years, so I'm going to get some of this stuff possibly not as accurate as I'd like, but the important facts I will get correct. But there was a time frame on the parking meters, and it said hours of operation. And I think the hours of operation ran until 9 o'clock at night, but it may have been a different time. But there was hours of operation on each parking meter, and it said hours of operation with a morning and an evening, and then it said, you know, Monday through Friday, then Saturday, Sunday. And so for the day I was there, I got there and nosed into the parking space and walked up the meter and looked at it, and the meter said that there was one more hour of operation, after which the meter would then become irrelevant. So I put enough change in my meter to buy me the 1 hour. My friend who parked next to me did the exact same thing, walked in, saw the show, turned out it was a good show. Couple hours later, walk out. Now remember, I put enough money in the meter to buy me the time until 9 p.m., and then no more hours of operation. So I walk up to my truck, take a look, and boom, there's a parking ticket underneath my windshield wiper. And I look over at the meter, and the meter's got a bag over it. It's like the unknown meter. So I'm looking, and all of a sudden my friend goes, hey, I got a ticket too. And there's a bag over the meter over there too. And then I look and there's someone's bagged all the meters up and down this one stretch. They put bags over them. Okay. And I look at the sign and the sign says, you know, metered parking from this time in the morning, this time at night. And then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, but no mention of bags or what bags mean. So I'm looking at the ticket and it says, you know, improper, parking, metered parking, implying that I'd parked there with a meter that had expired, which I hadn't. As I'm looking at this, a woman comes walking across the street and she goes, excuse me, is that your vehicle? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, okay, well, here's the deal. She goes, you're illegally parked. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, yes, you are. She goes, that parking there is designated as the parking for the valet parking for this bar right here. And I looked and I said, no, it looks to me like it's public parking that has meters that somebody went and put bags over. And she goes, yeah, well, we have a deal with the city of Pontiac that lets us reserve these spots, and then they get a cut, and we sell the parking spaces. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't think there's any process that actually says you bag a meter, you can pocket the money. She said, well, here's the deal. She goes, if you pay me $20, I can make that ticket go away. And I'm like, okay. I realize you don't know I'm an attorney. I didn't say this to her, but I was thinking this. But where in this world would you pay a stranger $20 to make a ticket disappear? Especially when it's a fraudulent ticket to begin with, but it was written by somebody who worked for the city of Pontiac. I said, no, that's okay, never mind. So I just took the ticket, and I told my friend, I said, give me your ticket, and I took the tickets. I said, I'm going to file an appearance, and I'm going to fight these tickets. So I file the paperwork with the city of Pontiac, and I get the notice date. And the notice date says show up on this day. Contact my friend. My friend goes, I'm going to come down and watch. So I slap on the suit and the tie, the whole shooting match. And I probably carried a briefcase to make it look good. Got a couple of those. And walked in, and the courtroom is just packed. The humanity that you see in courtrooms, district courts, fighting tickets. And I'm wondering, what are the odds that the ticket officer is going to show up and fight a ticket that has absolutely no basis in reality? Well, she showed up. And next thing I know, the court calls up and says, by the way, is Officer so-and-so here? And a woman stands up and goes, I'm here. And she's in uniform. And the officer, the judge goes, okay, come on up here. How many tickets do you have today? And she's like, I got like 12, you know. And the judge looks and apparently spots that one name, me, shows up twice, implying that I'm an attorney representing two people. So the judge goes, okay, and she calls my case. And then she looks at me and she goes, wait, who is this other case? And I said, oh, Your Honor, I go, one of those tickets is mine, and then one of them belongs to my client here, but they're identical tickets except that they were written for different parking spaces next to each other, same date, same time, same everything. They're identical. The judge goes, okay, come on up. So I come up there, and parking enforcement officer's there. The career choices you've made where you wind up being a parking enforcement officer in Pontiac. And so the judge goes to parking enforcement officer, what's the story? And she goes, well, Your Honor, Mr. Leto's vehicle and the client's vehicle were parked in these parking spaces. The meters were expired. Boom. That's it. And I'm like, yeah, can I talk now, Your Honor? The judge goes, sure, go right ahead. I go, she's leaving out a whole bunch of important stuff. I go, first of all, I actually went back and photographed the meter, and I photographed the sign, both of which said metered parking, you know, hours of operation until 9, or whatever time it was. And I said, and these tickets are both issued after that time. I said, now, I don't know what's going on here. I said, but there were bags over the meters when we returned, but the bags were not there when we parked during the hours of operation. I go, so the ticket has a problem because I know for a fact I put enough money in the meter to get it past 9 o'clock. And I don't remember if the time was on the ticket or not, but it wasn't clear. And I said, so I put money in the meter till 9 o'clock, and then my truck is legally parked at that point. So I deserve to win this. And the judge looks at the parking enforcement officer and goes, what's with the bags? Were you aware of these bags? And now suddenly she realizes, oh, the jig is up. Now I've actually got to completely backtrack. And she goes, well, Your Honor, here's the deal. She goes, there's a restaurant or a bar right there that's got a deal with the city of Pontiac. And the deal is this. They reserved these parking spaces, and they bag the meters, and they use it as valet parking. And the judge goes, who said they could do that? And the parking officer goes, oh, well, Your Honor, they went to a city council meeting, and they got permission to do it. The judge goes, they got permission to put bags on the meters? The meter lady goes, yeah, yeah. The judge goes, so when Mr. Leto legally parks his car there, and his client legally parks his car next to Mr. Leto's legally parked car, how are they supposed to know that the meters are going to get bagged at 9 p.m.? And she goes, oh, at 9 p.m. they're supposed to come back and check their car because, you know, just because the hours of operation are over doesn't mean the car is legally parked. And the judge goes, yes, it is. What are you talking about? And she goes, well, Your Honor. And I said, Your Honor, can I add one more thing? I go, on top of all of this oddity that's going on here, I said, a woman came over from the establishment claiming that was their parking space and offered to make these tickets disappear for $20 a pop. I go, I don't know about that either, but that doesn't make the city look very good if, in fact, that's their agreement. And the judge looks at the parking officer and she goes, no, it doesn't look very good at all. She goes, if, in fact, they have such an agreement, I would suggest they get kind of some kind of signage or something. She goes, but obviously, she goes, I have to dismiss these tickets, which I knew she was going to do anyways when she said legally parked about 6 times earlier. She goes, but you can't ticket somebody whose car is legally parked because you've redesignated their parking spot without notice. But before I was done, the judge goes, I'm going to dismiss both these tickets. And she goes, but Mr. Leto, I do want to let you know something. I go, what's that? She goes, the fact that you're an attorney and you've sat here all morning to fight over a parking ticket, a $30 parking ticket. She goes, I presume you're doing in principle. I said, yes. And she said, Because quite frankly, she goes, I have to imagine you can make more than $30 as an attorney being someplace else. And I go, yes, I could. She goes, but I respect that. She goes, the fact that you came down here to fight this on principle, she goes, I applaud you for doing that. She goes, both tickets are dismissed. She gave a dirty look to the parking ticket officer, and she goes, next case. So it was a bizarre situation, and I don't know if it was legitimate or not. Somebody was on the take, I don't know. But when somebody walks up and goes, pay me $20 and I can make that ticket disappear. Well, the ticket says $35 on it or whatever. It was more than $20. And I'm like, wait a second, though. This ticket's already in the system, and I'm going to pay a total stranger money to make it go away. It's just absurd. But like I said, I was an attorney dressed up in court, spent the whole morning there just to fight a parking ticket. But I won, so that's a good thing. But as far as I know, that's probably the goofiest thing I've done where I've represented myself. I've represented myself in a couple other matters and gotten some good-natured ribbing about it, but nothing quite as convoluted as the parking ticket. So that's the story for today. Questions or comments, fire them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.